Okay, here we go. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Have been telling you about this. MyNorthWest.com, one way to get to us. Also, through the State Roof text line at 98973, 98973. One of you gets a chance to be the great honor of being Letter of the Day. The letter is chosen by the teeny tiny lady who lives in a pickle jar. And she comes in on a wagon that you can hear now as it gets closer to the microphone. And holding on to the reins, controlling the horses. Let's listen in. Oh, it's Wally Shawn.
I just love hiking in the woods.
Tell me, why do we require a trip to Mount Everest in order to be able to perceive one moment of reality? I mean, is Mount Everest more real than New York? I mean, isn't New York real?
Look at these beautiful trees. Look how tall they are.
I mean, isn't there just as much reality to be perceived in the cigar store as there is on Mount Everest?
Look at these beautiful flowers.
Oh, the two of them going
my
back
dinner
and forth.
With teeny tiny. I love it.
Great. Jackpot there, huh? By the way, the movie is called My Dinner with Andre, and it is a conversation. This is it. They're just sitting at a dinner, sitting at a restaurant. There's hardly anybody else there.
Yeah.
And it's Wally Shawn and Andre Gregory, and they're having a conversation, and
it's one of the great movies of all time because
and there's nothing to it.
No, it's everything.
But everything.
Because it's a conversation, it touches on all sorts of great topics. They are great conversationals. They just filmed it over a few, nights, and it's brilliant. It's very provocative. Yeah, there's no action except verbal.
Right, but you can see yourself sitting there saying, well, Wally Shawn's right. I mean, I don't know, Andre. I wake up in the morning, if a cockroach hasn't died in my coffee cup, I consider it to be a pretty good day. Right? And Andre Gregory's doing all these crazy, these Buddhist monks, and they dye themselves and all covered white, and we were wrestling snakes. And Wally Shawn's just like, but life doesn't have to be like that.
I think it's because Wally Shawn feels defensive. Andre Gregory's just going, he's not lording it over him. He's just, oh my God, I did this incredible experience. It made me look at life entirely differently. And so Wally Shawn's basic argument is, but I like my blankets, my electric blankets.
Oh,
I like my creature comforts. And it's really about how we live our lives. We are both characters, obviously, both people. But it's this kind of, how I think most of us wish, ideally, that we were more like Andre Gregory, but we realize we're more like Wally Shawn. But it's this great back and forth between the two of them.
And the fact that they eventually, Wally Shawn sort of leaves with somewhat of an idea of, maybe I should look at my life a little differently. But we don't want to ruin it for you. But
which is the end result of any good conversation is that you become slightly altered.
We are going to now go live. Joe Biden speaking, pointing to the right. Bernie Sanders putting his head down. Joe Biden continuing to make what seems to be a gun type of thing. His one finger's out. His thumb is up as well. Should we go live to this? And
let's
keep our microphones open?
We are about 10 minutes into the debate already.
Vice President Biden?
You know, we talk about progressive. Let's talk about being progressive. Walking distance here is Mother Emanuel Church. 9 people shot dead by a white supremacist. Bernie voted 5 times against the Brady Bill and wanted a waiting period. No, let me finish. And waited a waiting period of 12 hours. I'm not saying he's responsible for the 9 deaths, but that man would not have been able to get that weapon with the waiting period had been what I suggest until you are cleared. In addition to that, being progressive, he thought Barack Obama, he wanted a primary. He said we should primary Barack Obama. Someone should. And in fact, the president was weak and our administration was, in fact, not up to it. Look, folks, let's talk about progressive. Progressive is getting things done. And that's what we got done. We got a lot done.
Senator Sanders, your response.
You know, Pete mentioned, I'm hearing my name mentioned a little bit tonight. I wonder why. And maybe, Pete mentions what the American people want. I will tell you, Pete, what the American people want, and Joe, what the American people want. They don't want candidates to be running to billionaires for huge amounts of funding.
All right, let's clear this up once and for all.
Pete has gotten funding from over 50 billionaires.
Joe,
I think, has gotten a little bit more. What the American people want, by the way, and a lot of the issues we'll be discussing tonight are issues I raised 4 years ago. Raising the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 an hour. Making public colleges and universities tuition free. And finally, doing what every other major country on earth does, guaranteeing health care to all people as a human right through a Medicare for all single-payer system.
And I can't allow this to stand because it's just not true. Senator Sanders has got people believing something that is untrue about my campaign. The idea that most of my campaign is funded by billionaires.
I didn't say that, Pete.
50 people. All right. In Charleston alone, just in Charleston, over 2,000 people have contributed to my campaign. That means the dollars that have come to my campaign just from Charleston is more than the dollars that have come from the 50 people that you mentioned. Grassroots contributions are the lifeblood of my campaign. In fact, I shouldn't miss the opportunity. If you're watching right now and you support my campaign, go to PeteForAmerica.com and chip in. And if you're watching right now and you're a billionaire, I will raise your taxes.
Oh, baby!
If you'd like to defeat Donald Trump, please go to PeteForAmerica.com and donate the legal maximum of $2,800.
I
want to bring us to another topic. We're in South Carolina. It's the first primary with a significant black voting population. Your numbers appear to be slipping with black voters. And I'm wondering if you could respond about why that is happening to you at this particular time.
Well, first of all, the latest poll I saw, my numbers, I'm still 15 points ahead. The latest poll.
Yes, you're correct.
Boom!
Look. But Senator Sanders is in striking distance of you. You are within the margin of error in this state.
Well, it depends on which poll. Look, I've earned the vote. I've worked like the devil to earn the vote of the African-American community, not just here, but across the country. I've been coming here for years and years, creating jobs here, making sure that the port, for example, that employs 1 in 11 people, we put $500 million in our administration just into this county. We've created jobs for people. The people know me. My entire career has been wrapped up in dealing with civil rights and civil liberties. I don't expect anything. I plan to earn the vote. I'm here to ask. I'm here to earn it. But folks, I intend to win South Carolina, and I will win the African-American vote here in South Carolina.
Mr. Biden, will you continue if you do not win South Carolina? You have said that South Carolina will determine the outcome of this presidential race. If you don't win South Carolina, will you continue in the race?
I will win South Carolina.
All right, now, Bloomberg, I'd like to bring you in this conversation. I want to ask you about a question that impacts the black and brown community. You've apologized for stop and frisk repeatedly. What exactly are you apologizing for?
We let it get out of control. And when I realized that, I cut it back by 95%. And I've apologized and asked for forgiveness. I've met with black leaders to try to get an understanding of how I can better position myself and what I should have done and what I should do next time. But let me tell you, I have been working very hard. We've improved the school system for black and brown students in New York City. We've increased the jobs that are available to them. We've increased the housing that's available to them.
But what more can you do about this issue, Mr. Mayor, to put people's fears and skepticism to rest?
I think
it continues to follow you.
No, well, that's because it's in their interest to promote that. But if you talk to the people in New York City, I have over 100 black elected officials that have endorsed me. A lot of them are in the audience tonight.
I'm Hispanic.
And I've earned the respect of people in New York City. I was the mayor of the largest, most populous city in the United States for 12 years. And people will tell you it's a lot better city today. It is safer for everybody. The school system is better. The budget's under control. We've done the things that people need in New York City for all ethnicities.
Thanks for stopping for us. Forgot about that.
Mayor to mayor, you've certainly had your issues with the black community as well. Do you think the New York City's implementation of stop and frisk was racist?
Yes, in effect it was, because it was about profiling people based on their race. And the mayor even said that they disproportionately stopped white people too often and minorities too little. And I'm not here to score points. I come at this with a great deal of humility because we have had a lot of issues, especially when it comes to racial justice and policing in my own community. And I come to this with some humility because I'm conscious of the fact that there's 7 white people on this stage talking about racial justice. None of us have the experience, the lived experience of, for example, walking down the street or in a mall and feeling eyes on us, regarding us as dangerous without knowing the first thing about us just because of the color of our skin. None of us have the experience that black women have had that drives that maternal mortality gap that we are all rightly horrified by, of going into a doctor and being less likely to have your description of being in pain believed because of your race. Since we don't have the experience, the next best thing we can do is actually listen to those who do.
I know, wait a second. I know that if I were black, my success would have been a lot harder to achieve. And I know a lot of black people that if they were white, it would have been a lot easier for them. That's just a fact, and we've got to do something about it than rather just demagogue about it.
Senator Klobuchar, was the way that the mayor implemented Stop and Frisk racist?
Oh, God. Come on.
Yes, and I think that what we need to do, instead of just reviewing everything from the past, is talk about where we're going to go forward. Martin Luther King once said that we are all tied in a single garment of destiny, and that what affects one of us directly affects all of us indirectly. So when there is racism in the criminal justice system, then we need to fix it.
Okay.
And to me, that means sentencing reform like the First Step Act and extending that to the states with the Second Step Act.
Do you want to do this whole thing? Seriously, do you want to do this?
Because if
what are people writing? People saying this is horrible.
Nick's loving it.
Yeah, there's been a few. Well, they like the sound effects.
I like this Mystery Science 3000 version of the debates.
That single garment of destiny.
But yeah, we don't do
and
the whole thing.
Did
you say it's not racist? He said,
no, it is racist.
Tom.
Listen, we can have the same argument they're having on
stage. How many victims were black? How many victims were black and how many people did they stop were also people that were black? The idea was that most of the people that victimized were black, and the most of the people doing the victimizing were black. And that he said, listen, we're going to concentrate in this area because this is where the problems are. But I read the numbers. Crime was already decreasing even before he started, right?
Yeah.
So they
didn't need it, in other words.
Apparently, it was already on its way down. So,
and keep in mind, there are 8 million New Yorkers, and 5 million were stopped, and 95% of the blacks were stopped. There was no reason to stop them except for them being black.
But that's
the problem.
But who was committing the crimes, and who was the crimes being committed by? That's the question. That's not racist. Those are numbers. You could react to those numbers saying, well, that seems racist. That's your feelings.
The
facts, black people were committing the crimes.
No.
Black people were being the victims of the crimes.
If 2% of African-Americans were committing the crimes, it doesn't mean you stop 98% of them.
65%, Tom, of the crimes were committed against a black person black person.
Then if you stop them at 98% of the time, that's racist itself.
Why is it racist? You're just trying to screening.
No, because you're stopped. Because you're stopped. Yeah, okay.
Elizabeth Warren speaking, and I'm voting for her. Hang on.
Then we're gonna.
Sorry to the kids out there.
Okay, here we go. Back to Bloomberg.
Try to defend another Republican senator against a woman challenger.
Oh, God.
That was me. It didn't work, but he tried hard.
Is this an attack on Bloomberg? I'm sure they're going after. No, Bernie probably. That's probably
I don't care how much money Mayor Bloomberg has.
Oh,
the core of the Democratic Party will never trust him. He has not earned their trust. I will. And the fact that he cannot earn the trust of the core of the Democratic Party means he is the riskiest candidate standing on this stage.
All right, Senator Warren, thank you. Mayor Bloomberg, would you like to respond?
Not to win the election. Okay, let's hear Bloomberg.
Here we go. Mr. Bloomberg now.
I have been training for this job since I stepped on the pile that was still smoldering on 9/11.
There we go. Good job.
The 9/11.
I know what to do. I've shown I know how to run a country.
Yeah.
I've run the city, which is almost the same size, as bigger than most countries in the world. I am not the least. I'm the one choice that makes some sense. I have the experience, I have the resources, and I have the record. And all of the sideshows that the senator wants to bring up have nothing to do with that. When people hired me to run New York City, three times in an overwhelmingly Democratic progressive city, they elected me again and again.
Mr. Vice President?
I was mentioned in this. I'd like to respond.
Oh, go ahead, Senator.
He called me out by name in this and referred to what I talk about as a sideshow.
Yeah.
You know, this is personal for me. Uh-huh. When I was 21 years old, I got my first job as a special education teacher.
Yeah.
I loved that job.
Yeah.
And by the end of the first year, I was visibly pregnant.
Uh-huh.
The principal wished me luck and gave my job to someone else.
This is a lie.
Pregnancy discrimination You bet.
It's a lot.
But I was 21 years old. There I didn't have a union to protect me, and I didn't have any federal law on my side.
This is not true. This
so I packed up my stuff, and I went home.
Not true.
At least I didn't have a boss who said to me, kill it. The way that Mayor Bloomberg
never
alleged
said that.
Said
oh, wow.
To one of his come on. Pregnant employees. People want a chance to hear.
Wow.
So there you
people
go.
People want fully. A chance to hear. From the women who
I never
worked.
Said that.
I want
and,
to allow
and
the mayor
for the record, if she
respond.
Was a teacher in New York City, she would never have had that problem. We treated our teachers the right way, and the unions will tell you exactly that.
Sorry to the kids out there.
Well, wow. Senator Warren has raised. Let us have just, the women have an opportunity to speak. The Bloomberg corporations and Mayor Bloomberg himself have been accused of discrimination. They are bound by non-disclosures so that they cannot speak. If he says there is nothing to hide here, then sign a blanket release and let those women speak out okay. So that they can tell their
no.
stories the way I can
oh,
tell
at Amy.
My story.
I want to say something.
Hi, Nora. Thank you. I am Nora.
Going to be sued
thank
by
you.
A billionaire.
Thank you. Okay. We have a number of issues discussed tonight, but I want to give the mayor an opportunity to respond because she has raised concerns about women in your workplace.
Yeah.
At the last debate, you said some of your female employees might not have liked some of your jokes. Did these women take your jokes wrong, or were you wrong to make the jokes?
Probably wrong to make the jokes. I don't remember what they were, so I assume if it bothered them, I was wrong, and I apologize. I'm sorry for that. But what happened here is we went back 40 years, and we could only find three cases where women said they were uncomfortable. Nobody accused me of doing anything other than just making a comment or two. And what the senator did suggest was that we release these women from the nondisclosure agreement.
Okay, do we have to take
I
a break?
I did that two
right,
days
let's find
later.
Out what President Trump thinks so far.
Wow. What a great outcome.
Yeah, he is happy. Oh, my. By the way, Bernie, why are they going after Bernie more?
Well, they did. We missed the first 10 minutes of the debate.
Oh, there's more.
So maybe they came in the first 10 minutes and went after him. Now they're going after Bloomberg. Oh, a little bit. We can dip in one more time.
All right. Jacob, you're making the big decision on this.
Sure, yeah.
You're all right with
that? He does some other stuff, too, though.
Okay, fine. Let's check in with Trump. Lake Washington Windows and Doors having a big sale. I think it's the biggest sale of the year, 50% off Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Get in there, get that house taken care of. It's the biggest investment you have. Let's take good care of it. An investment would be getting rid of those old crappy windows and getting yourself some good ones. And also, oh, look at this. Thank you, Jacob. Don't forget to go to mynorthwest.com/win. We're giving away a chance to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC. On board the Victoria Clipper, this is the quaint bistros and afternoon tea and much, much more. Book your trip today and you'll find out more. And when you go for a quick little spring getaway, theclippervacations.com. Plus, also win two tickets to Dave Matthews Band. That's on Friday, the 4th of September at the Gorge. Oh, that's going to be nice. How about that? He's going to be performing multiple shows on Labor Day weekend. You can also learn more about some of the other artists by checking out their schedule, DaveMatthewsBand.com, DaveMatthewsBand.com. Are those tickets all given away now, or what, how do you win these things?
Go to MyNorthwest.com.
/win. Okay, fine. I'd read that so much.
So fast it didn't make any sense to you.
I had no idea. But you're... plus, the screaming and yelling going on.
Yeah, that's right. It is distracting. A lot of finger pointing.
Yes. But right now, Bernie is pointing at Bloomberg, and Bloomberg is looking at Bernie. Anyone hear what they're saying?
Sure.
Live with this
Mayor
catastrophe.
Bloomberg, thank you. I will allow Senator Sanders a quick response,
thank
and then
you very
Senator
much,
Warren.
Laura.
Senator Sanders, a quick response, and then
thank
Senator
you very much. Mayor Bloomberg has a solid and strong and enthusiastic base of support. Problem is, they're all billionaires. Now, if you look...
See?
On the other hand, of the last 50 polls that have been done nationally, Mr. Bloomberg, I beat Trump 47 of those 50 times. If you look at battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, polling just
the polls aren't the election.
Holy catfish!
Yeah,
if you want to beat Trump, what you're going to need is an unprecedented grassroots movement of black and white and Latino, Native American and Asian people who are standing up and fighting for justice.
Can anybody in this room imagine moderate Republicans going over and voting for him? And
absolutely.
You have to do that, or you can't win.
You know, thank you,
that
Senator Warren.
That is the problem. And that is that a progressive agenda is popular, Mayor Bloomberg, and for everyone on this stage. We talk about how to build a future. That's what matters. I talk to people in selfie lines every day who tell me about the importance of getting real help on health care. It's why I also have a way to pay for health care that doesn't raise taxes on middle-class families. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that. Yeah. As Democrats, we need to speak to the future we can build together. We need to speak of the prosperity we can build together. How about a wealth tax in America? Because with a 2-cent tax on just the top 0.1%, we have a chance to invest in universal child care for every one of our babies to really level the playing field. Put $50 billion into historically black colleges and universities. And start closing the racial wealth gap by canceling student loan debt for 43 million Americans. We need to talk about our aspirations, our hopes. This is a moment to choose hope over fear.
Senator,
this is our moment.
Senator, thank you. We have to take a quick break. When we come back,
we're getting all crazy excited there. All right.
I think Greta Thunberg changed her. turned her political.
Wally Shawn. All right. Grocery stores, and Amazon has announced that they've got the big grocery store coming up. They did this back
in
2016.
It opened today.
Today's the big one, right?
Great,
But they kind of beta tested it for a while. Basically, what it says is you walk in, you're pre-registered on your phone. You walk in, you pick up an object. Pick up a thing, you're like, yeah, I don't like that yogurt. You put it back down again, you pick something up, you put it in your bag, and you walk out the door. Boom, bang, that's it. You're simple, done. There's no lines, no scanning, no nothing. You've got the item you like, and out you go.
So, but they've been doing the Amazon Go business. This is the first one in the country that's an Amazon Go grocery store.
Yes.
And it just opens this big 7,000 square foot place up in 610 East Pike. So it's right in the heart of a Capitol Hill, and it just opened today. And they said that, yeah, it's finally ready for the public to start. Do we have any
sound? No. I'm just listening to the debates while you're talking. I'm not.
Okay,
I'm fine.
Because Keith Quire did a really good job of talking all about this. They got a run through beforehand.
Yeah.
And they said what's amazing, the trickiest part for Amazon Go Grocery is the produce section. Because people need to take time. They don't want to just sort of be given a lot of stuff is wrapped. Like there's no meat department. It's all individually selected cuts of meat that are pre-wrapped. But when it comes to the produce, people want to be able to pick up that apple and feel it and put it down. And so they've got hundreds of cameras up in the ceiling, and they're keeping track of when you pick up the apple. If you put it in your basket, then you you take it back out. They claim that they can do that, and it's a tricky kind of a thing. But when you've got, like, you buy a bunch of grapes, they don't take time to weigh them, so they must have some kind of calculation. But at the end of your shopping thing, you just walk out. And they will bill you as soon as you walk out of the store. They won't bill you until you walk out, but you do bill. And when you first walk in, they're kiosks, and you have to identify yourself with a downloaded app or
this makes me want to sign up.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome to Amazon Go.
Yeah.
So this was the first ad.
What's really interesting about it?
Yeah.
So they now have all the data on you. They know exactly what you picked up. They know what you bought. They know how long you've been in there.
That's true.
They know what else you looked at.
Yeah.
You pick up one thing, now you put it back. Why you didn't get that? Well, they might want to know why you didn't get that.
That's right.
You looked at something else and got something else. They'll know how long you moved around the store. They'll know where you moved and what steps you took. They'll have everything on you.
Yeah.
And here's a piece in the New York Post, the latest job killer by Amazon. It is. They got rid of how many people have they been able to eliminate?
Well, I don't know. But at this point, because of this announcement, the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, the UFCW, came out with a statement calling Amazon, quote, a clear and present danger to millions of good jobs. Eliminating as many jobs as possible is the brutal truth of Amazon, that they're focused on one thing. I think they are not... I don't think Amazon is set out to kill jobs. I think they're set out to provide a service, and if it ends up killing jobs, that's just the price of a progress.
Right.
They represent 1.3 million workers in grocery stores and call Amazon's approach a, quote, a ruthless strategy.
Well, let's assume that 35% of their cost of doing business is wages.
Yeah.
They eliminate the checky check people,
yeah,
right? They still have to have stock people, but yes, they get rid of the front line there.
That's right.
And they save themselves money. And then they save you money, so they continue to compete. What are you going to do? This is the future. Unfortunately, the fact that people complain about it, and then I see them, I can't believe it's happening. But then they go through the self-check. They don't go to Betty, who's over the end. You see them go through, I think it's horrible that they're getting. I always feel bad. I see the person standing over there.
Yeah.
But I don't feel bad enough to go to them. I just do the self-check on my own because my time.
It's faster.
But I see them at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And I see them there, and I love Home Depot, but they're just standing there looking at me knowing, well, that's the end of my job.
I know. The problem is you can't stop progress, and I think it's a great effort to try to protect jobs when the jobs are, you know, kind of like, in effect, worth protecting. Like, if this is a person, if the inefficiency is replaced by another inefficiency, that's not a help. But if it makes the service better, then it's hard to argue with that.
I know. Only the public creates inefficiency with more inefficiency. The private can't afford to be inefficient or it goes out of business. So that's the difference.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Right now, you know, there's a pushback from some of these, high-end stores that sell good stuff because they bring back the people because they realize a lot of their customers don't like the
customer service.
They want the customer service. It's sort of like, do you want somebody to come out of the gas station and wash your windows and pump your gas or not?
You want to pay for it?
Most people don't.
Ms. Taylor.
Yes, sir.
I think you've got some work to do. All right. We decided to bail on the debate thing. We'll have all the highlights tomorrow.
Yeah,
right.
You bet.
Okay, let's do that. Because it's too hard. It's just too much time.
The debate's pretty good, but they're not as good as our letters.
No.
Right.
Oh, teeny tiny jump in. All right. Here comes the mailman. Nice.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
I had this one lined up.
Good job, commies.
All right, teeny tiny's kind of letter of the day.
Kennedy always upsets things. Nick from Orca's weighs in. We're talking about the debate. I like this Mystery Science Theater 3000 version of the debates. Can we do this every time?
Yeah, and Daniel in Fircrest, that's a good point. If Curly doesn't think the Stop and Frisk is racist because the percentage, ask him if he believes that if white people commit 65% of the white-collar crime and finance crime, should every white person's financial records and applications and transactions be vetted 98% of the time for the extra scrutiny and extra questioning? Good point. Yeah.
That is a good point. Seattle Police, 425. One of my managers was an officer for the cities of Renton and Bellevue. He was sued twice for doing his job. His wife couldn't take it anymore. He resigned. Ooh, from Renton and Bellevue, so it's not just Seattle.
253. First time I've ever thought I would text a radio show. I'm a Seattle police officer, and John is spot on, ... There's always room for improvement.
I assume, though. Okay, Seattle Police continued. Urquhart here, 206. So Urquhart is the former King County Sheriff, John Urquhart.
We're going to find out if it actually is.
Urquhart here. I can't believe I'm saying this. If he says that, then I believe it's him.
Okay, good.
But Curly is absolutely right about DOJ. They came to me in 2016 about our hiring practices. Same thing they did with Seattle. Wouldn't provide any information, then a huge investigation. And we proved they were wrong. They went away, very reluctantly, but they gave us nothing.
Huh.
But still, that's interesting that they could prove their case to them even if he feels like they were out to get him.
We're going to find out. If that's him, that's good. Thanks for listening.
Cool.
All right, here we go. 360. I don't know whether to get a bucket of popcorn or hide under the bed because mom and dad are fighting.
That's right.
Take the bucket of popcorn under the bed.
Yeah, that's right. And Jim in 206. Hey, guys, could you start that fight over? I missed the beginning.
Yes.
Thanks in advance.
We'll start it next time we talk about police in Seattle. Same thing. Career aptitude test, 757. I got DJ when he took the test.
Oh,
okay, there
that's
you go.
Fun. 206. The aptitude test isolates those students with disabilities because they already have a hard enough time believing that they can get into college, and then you have them do an aptitude test, and it tells them they're supposed to be a cashier or something else, or you get paid minimum wage. It's not productive.
Yes, and career aptitude testing continues, 971. To those tests, when I was young, I said I would be good at farming. But the funny thing about it is I'm disabled and I'm in a wheelchair all my life. I think farming from a wheelchair would be hard to do.
206. Hey, over there, you missed a spot.
Yeah.
206. The state of Washington requires a high school and beyond plan, which involves community service plus job shadowing in a career that you think you might like as a graduation requirement. Yeah, that's a great idea. I support that.
What is an enneagram?
A neogram? I've heard of it. I don't really understand how it works, but okay. It's just another one of these personality.
Oh, yeah, it's like Myers-Briggs.
It's a test.
It's
kind of even better at positioning high schoolers.
Okay? And 206, this one. I don't know why this isn't a letter of the day. Tom, please, go into Fourth Street.
Wow, yes.
I like that.
Okay, I'm glad you do. I can't find the teeny tiny anywhere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Whoa, where is she? Oh,
she's
my God.
Watching the debate.
She's over there.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from an old familiar, Eric in Bothell.
Oh, good. Once made famous by this show.
Hi, guys. Mm-hmm. By all means, I welcome your kibitzing today's debate. Mm. With the exception of the last debate, most debates could use the spice that are your observations. Hopefully free of alternative facts. Those naysayers, I stick my liberal tongue at in jest.
Ah, good, Eric.
All right.
I think that's it.
I think that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write no more.
She left the gloom a-hanging round my...